Welcome to He Hears Even the Cricket in the Corner. I'm Cricket Douglas, along with Samuel Emmanuel, and he does hear the cricket in the corner.
Yes, he does. And thankfully, today we have something to share. Guess we're the crickets in this corner. The crickets in his corner. And what we're wanting to talk about today is actually a topic I came up with, and it's letting go. Trusting God in the midst of anxiety and uncertainty. And I think this is a topic that's good to speak about because all of us can get anxious at times. I don't think anyone escapes that. Some people might not be as prone to getting anxious as others, and I know I've been a very anxious person throughout my life. It is an awesome thing to see when people just don't seem to have that as much. But I know all of us in some way have anxieties that grab hold of us and can bother us. And so what I'm wanting to do today is for us to unpack how anxiety often stems from our desire of to control outcomes, situations, or even people. However, the scripture calls us to surrender, casting all our anxieties on God because He cares for us. And so we're going to be exploring how trusting God's sovereignty releases that weight from us and allows us to surrender longing to control what's not ours to manage. And so what you think about Miss Cricket?
I love the topic, letting go. And it's hard. It definitely is for us. I think when we hold on to things, it's like a security blanket in some areas of our lives. Sometimes things lie, and it's like it's hidden that we may not want other people to find out about. Mm. And we just hold on to it. And as you stated, you feel more like you're in control.
And I think that's something that I've come around to discover, that it is a control thing, because I know that I want the perfect outcome. It's something that I obsess over, is perfection. And so I think that if I can get my hands on it and try to work my way with it, then I can work it in the best possible way. And when I see that I do not have any control over it, and it's beyond my grasp and reach and where I can have an effect on it, I start to spiral and freak out. And that's where my anxiety is. It's like the anxiety can be the thought of that I won't have control, or even when it starts to play out and I'm finding it that I am. And so where I have found true comfort is just being like, okay, I'm giving this up to God. I'm letting this go. And also just the realization that we didn't have the control to begin with, that God is the one that allows everything to happen and sets things in place. And if it starts to look like it's not something that we can have an effect on, who are we to try to take that back from Him and try to create efforts to change a plan that's already taken the course as He set it into motion?
And I think when we hold on to things, it's such a burden. And it's so heavy. When we release it, it's like taking off an overcoat. And you can just sigh. You can rest because you're no longer weighed down with that thing that you're controlling. And God always, He will protect us, Sam, when we give something over to Him. Because He know that's a vulnerability. It's like it's cast upon us, and you're open. The thing that you held near to you, and you release it to God, it's like you're naked. And you don't want anyone to see it. But God will clothe you in His righteousness.
Yeah.
He'll give you a right state of mind. He give you stability to be able to handle it, which is grace. His grace is sufficient for all things. If we just would just, I think it's even trust. When I say trust, faith comes into play with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in order to release it, You got to have enough faith to know that what I'm giving you, God, I trust you to take care of it. And when I said take care of it, bring it back where I'm healed and I no longer want to feel that control. Can you imagine? Sometimes I had a fear of driving on the highway. And I would always clutch the steering wheel. And it would be so tight. And when I got to my destination, Sam, I would totally be exhausted. Because I always had a fear of something was going to happen. But it was like if I would hold that steering wheel real tight, I had the control, which I didn't, because something could have happened. Yeah. And it was God's grace that got me where I needed to be at.
That's right. And I think when you kind of, that's perfect that you say that, because the grasp of control, whether it's physical like that, where you're talking about a steering wheel, where it's something that you feel like you can put your hands on, and if you just hold tight enough, you start to feel like, okay, well, I'm putting extra effort into achieving this control. But even you could have squeezed that steering wheel with all your might, and you wouldn't even be able to have true control over the situation. And it comes down to fear, pride, and uncertainty. It's kind of a mix of one of those. And you can always ask yourself, well, which one is it here? Just so you can start to understand it a little better. I think often for me, and you can talk about yours too, but I think mine is the fear of uncertainty. I don't know what the situation is going to be. What's the outcome going to be? And I love to know. Like, I love learning. But with that, there's a crave for knowledge, and it goes into that, if whether I'm certain or uncertain about something. And that is really where you said that faith has to come into play. Faith, it's so often that I just have to say, I need to have faith. I need to have faith. Stop trying to determine something and have something concrete, Sam. That's me. That's easy for me to go into questioning him and his ability when I know at the end of the day that he has control to bring us to the best outcome that is in accordance to his will. And what would you say out of the fear, pride, and uncertainty that it stems from?
For me, it's fear, as I stated, or driving, like I'm going to get lost. And the uncertainty of, will I be safe? Is something else going to happen? You know, it just drives me. It does. It drives me crazy. And I get anxious about it. And then when I do get to my destination, Sam, it's like, why'd you do all of this? Why'd you bring all the anxiety upon you? And I'm fine, like, driving in town, but to get on the interstate, it's a whole different thing. I think about it at night. I lose sleep. And God tells us not to worry about things. And I had to come to the realization, why are you feeling like that? Because from your house to the grocery store, something could happen. And I think it's just the mass traffic that I can't control. The people just switching in and out of lanes. And, you know, you have to go and drive a certain mileage while in the city, you know, it's slow. I think it's just the busyness of the interstate, and it's like a million people on the interstate, and everybody driving faster than me. And that's what I feel like. And I think that's why I get so anxious.
And God knows that that's our tendency. We gravitate towards that fear or pride or uncertainty in these things. And so that's why in Philippians 4:6-7 it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And I know you feel it as well. It's like once you do just let it go, like completely let it go. You can't partially let it go. You do it or you don't. But once you do, it's just like that peace that surpasses all understanding washes over you. And you're like, I'm good. I know the one that knows more than I do, knows the beginning and the end, everything in between and beyond, he's the one that I've entrusted it up to. And that's just such a great piece that is given to us. And it's interesting that we allow ourselves and we put ourselves in the position of enduring everything of our efforts to try to control something when we know that we can just give it up to him.
And everything that we do in life, it's a journey. Hmm. You know, when you want to go to college, mm-hmm. that's a journey. Mm-hmm. Because there's planning that takes place. Your financial, you have to take SATs mm-hmm. to get in college. That's a journey. That's a step to your destination. But there you go again. Some people get anxious about taking tests. Mm-hmm. And what did they do? Sometimes they self-sabotage themselves. Yep. And that's the whole thing about life. The enemy and even the inner you, you're scared to release yourself. Mm. You're scared to even trust yourself at times to sit down and take the test. You may know the word, but then when you get there, you just, something comes over you, because I think we put everything in the path of the journey right there at that time. Mm. It's like, I'm taking the test. Uh-oh, what if I pass the test? Then I got to do this, got to do that. But I think we put too much into that moment at that particular time, and you just get confused. You get sidetracked. It's distractions. Mm-hmm.
And you speaking about that reminds me of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your path. Mm-hmm. Like, how simple is it that we can cut out all of that? And specifically, when you talk about the test, I relate to that so much. I'm a terrible test taker, and the reason why is me. I get in my head about it. And how I can get around that, it's because I'm so driven to lean on my own understanding. And of course, you got to do the work, and you need to be knowledgeable. But at that point, when you're there to take the test, and you've put in the work to learn it, that anything beyond that is just anxious thoughts. And that's where I do have to calm my mind and be like, Lord, you know that I've done the work to know what I need to know, and you've helped me through all that, and you're going to help me through this as well. And at this point, I'm just going to do the best of my ability, and you'll bring me comfort in this. And the times, and I will admit, it's been fewer times that I go down that narrative and just allow it up to him. The majority of the time, I do allow myself to be a victim of my anxiety and worry through the whole thing. And the result of that is often like, oh, I knew the answer to that. How could I mess that up? Well, it's because I self-sabotaged myself. And if I had done the right thing and not leaned on my own understanding, but gave it up to him, my path would have been made straight to 100 or whatever desired outcome that he had for me.
And I think also when you're in a exam setting, you thinking about the people next to you, what kind of grade they're going to make, instead of focusing on what you've studied for. Yeah. And that's just pure exhaustion. Mm. You know, because if I think about the people in front of me and around me, I'm already self-sabotaged myself.
Yeah.
Because I've put them in a place greater than I am, which I shouldn't, because they may not know as much as I do. Or even if they did, Sam, it's the work that you want God to do in you for your perfection.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you plan and study and you really be into the word, like we're in the word of God, then we should be able to withstand and take any test that God puts in front of us and pass it.
Yeah.
Not even thinking about, I don't want to do it like that. I'm going to do it like this. But what did the book tell you to do?
To give it up to him.
Yeah, to give it up to him. Mm. And study yourself. Study yourself.
Yeah.
Study yourself. What's in you that keeps you and hindering you from getting where God needs you to be in your life? Mm. And it's yay or nay. Mm. God, I'm going to do it. So when you say, I'm going to do it, then guess what? He's going to put you through the test.
Yep. And even if for some reason you're in a position of doing something that you shouldn't be. So maybe that test, maybe you do have an abundance of anxiety over something because you know in the back of your mind it's not something that's glorifying him. And I know we've been speaking, assuming that it is something that's glorifying him or adding to your life so that you can carry out ministry or whatever else. But there are some times that we've come to a crossroad where we shouldn't be there at that crossroad because we made a decision through our own understanding to get us there. Even there, he's going to be with us and carry us through it. But we've placed that anxiety on ourselves because we've made wrong decisions that we blatantly knew were not in line with his will.
Exactly. Then we want him to help us. And yep.
It's like, he's like, you got to go this way. No, I'm going to go that way.
No, we look quicker. I'm going to jump the fence.
Yeah, I'm going to jump the fence. He's like, that fence is there for a reason. And he's like, yeah, and I'm going to jump it. Then you get on top of the fence and you're stuck. And he said, Lord, come help me. But that's really like the majority of this is just because we try to overcomplicate and take it into our own control when it just says right here, the simple instruction. And we do that in so many different things. And more recently, I've been super top of mind of trying to practice letting it, just giving it up to him. And I've been so experienced so much peace with it. And an example I want to give specifically is with my grandpa right now. You know, he's not doing the best. He experienced a heart attack or something around that where, you know, it's just made his body really weak. And when we were in the hospital, we had a big scare where his heart rate dropped down to 20, and you know, he didn't look good. His eyes were doing some stuff, and it was just very concerning. Mm-hmm. It was scary, and it prompted the doctor to have a very serious conversation with us. And so my grandma, my aunt, my uncle, and my mom on the phone, and myself were all there, and they were talking about the DNR. And just wanted to make sure that he knew for sure where we stood with it, whether he needed to be resuscitated or not. And we're all looking at each other like, well, I don't want to make that decision. And it probably was one of the most intense times in my life, emotionally and mentally and all of that. And I just knew in that moment, I knew that I couldn't handle that. I knew none of us wanted to bear the weight of trying to make that decision on our own. And I knew the doctor knew that too, right? Like no one, I like to think no one really can make that decision so easily on their own. And he said, well, listen, this is what I think. And even that, like, I was like, wow, like this man, this doctor is going out of his way to tell us what he thinks when typically that's not a good practice to have as far as that perspective. But he said, I think considering his age, he's lived a long, good life, and the pain that he's been experiencing, if we were to resuscitate him, the efforts to do that would cause more damage to him and then more pain beyond on the other side of that. He's like, yes, we may get him back, but at what cost? And he said, so my thought process is if it comes to that point that we just let him go because that's God's will. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly how he said it, but something around that. And of course, all of us were like, okay, well, if it couldn't be any clearer and we're beating around the bush, because we all know, all of us knew the right answer was to just leave it up to God. And however it takes its course, that's how it was to be. But we wanted our worldly selfish selves wanted to be like, well, let's put this man-made effort into place so that we can bring him along a little further. But thankfully God put the words in this doctor's mouth to bring that assurance. Then he said, well, I'll give y'all a moment. Then, you know, even beyond that, God bless us with the grace of him saying, y'all have time to discuss real quick. I'll give y'all some time and you come to me and give you your answer. And so we are all looking around at each other and just concluded that, yes, he's lived a great long life and God's carried him through this far. And if that were to occur again, and we all collectively decided, despite all the emotion in it, that we would be fine with letting him go because that was God's will.
And at that particular moment, when you were giving that option, right then and there, as you spoke about it, it was you wanting to control his destiny.
Yeah.
And not looking at his quality of life behind it. And it's so true, because when you're put in that position, you're thinking of yourself, really.
Mm. Yep, that's right.
You're not thinking about your grandfather, what he has to go through, the pain and the suffrage. And once you accept that, Sam, you can see the better outcome of that. You know, you see the years and the wisdom that he's put into you and your whole family. Mm-hmm. And, but you got to think, Grandpa may be tired.
Mm-hmm. And he is. And that's what my grandma said. He said he's been ready to go. He's been, and I can't recall the song exactly, but saying that what a day it'll be when his face I shall see, or something along the lines of that, nightly. Every night he's singing this song.
In the midst of all, so he's preparing himself.
Yeah, he is. And who are we to come in and be like, no, let's, you know, make this journey a little longer and a little harder for you. And it just was like blatant. When you really think about it, it was just blatant what the answer was. And we were so close to trying to overcomplicating it and putting our selfish ambition into it. And thank God he allowed all of us to be on the same page, and there was no issue there. And I'm telling you, for something that was as sad as it could have been and is, I felt so much peace and comfort. Mm-hmm. And we made that decision, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to go back, because we were right outside the hospital door. I said, well, I'm going to go back in there with them and check on him. So they kept on talking, went to go have that conversation with the doctor, and I was standing there, and my grandpa was just like, talking about what was coming up, talking about having a fish fry and all this, and looking forward to the garden that we're planting this year. And it was, his hand was just there, and I laid my hand in his hand, and he just kept on talking and closed it and just held on to my hand and going on and on about all this. And even in that moment, I was like, well, he's talking, you know, looking forward to the future. And what really struck me was, I was like, he may not even be here for that. Mm-hmm. And I know that in that too, we can kind of look at it as the angle of man trying to make his plans. I knew ultimately that he knew that if God takes him out, then he's fine. Mm-hmm. But however, he's going to keep doing his little plans and just like things that he's excited for while he is here. And if God sees fit to interrupt that, he's totally fine with it. But it made me so emotional that he was talking about a time that he may not even live to. Mm-hmm. But that excitement was still, it was beautiful for me, because he wanted, as he has all these years, to plant a garden, to provide for his family, and God has given the strength to do it, and he's going to do that strong to the end.
That's right. And it reminds me of my mom. You know, she always would say things. She used to always tell us to live while we can and die when we can't help it.
Yep. I love that.
You know, she would always say stuff. And just like your grandfather, of course, he's preparing to be with y'all. Mm-hmm. But if in the event that he's not, he's going to totally be all right. Because, see, right now, he's all right. Mm-hmm. And even in his soul is at peace.
Yeah.
That's why he can let go.
Yeah. Yep.
But I realized with my mom when she had passed, and she was 92 years old, and the doctor said she was so strong, he said, and she just held on. But when we went in the room after she had expired, her hands was wide open. Mm. And I think I'll always think about a child when they come in the world, their fists are clutched because they're neat. Mm. But when you leave, you relax.
Yeah.
You open your hands because there's no more. Mm. You release everything. And when we get to a place in our lives that we know things are bigger than us, we gotta open our hands and give them back to God, because holding on to them, it only takes away from us. Mm. We worry, we get anxious, depression comes. Mm-hmm. And Matthew 6:25-34, Jesus teaches us about worrying. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So, I mean, God is telling us we can't worry about things, because the next minute we don't know, but God does. So why worry about it?
Exactly. And it's just a display of us trying to take that into our own hands. And the opposite of that is, it's a display of faith when we can just let it go into His.
And I think about, why are we trying to control time when we're not the author of time?
Yep. Exactly.
We just can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here now, but the next minute, we don't know.
We don't know.
So just focus on the now, because there's no other way but to do that.
Mm.
Just focus on now what we have, because it does. It does take away from you. You ever been, I remember going to the dentist, you know how you'd be so anxious and you'd be afraid, Sam. And, I've been there, my blood pressure was up and they couldn't do the procedure. They had to wait. And then after it's all over with, do you know what I say to myself? Lord, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I pressure on my heart.
Mm.
That's why my blood pressure was elevated. You just do a lot. If you just would listen and be obedient, listen to God's instructions,
mm-hmm.
because they have never failed, because it's a purpose in His instructions.
Mm.
And it's an internal thing. Obedience.
Mm.
It's just about obedience, Sam. Mm-hmm. And we got to learn to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're not obedient, you're not in alignment.
Mm.
And when you're not in alignment, you can't make that connection. And was it last week I was talking about the spine?
Yep. Well, yeah. It might have been the time before, but yeah.
So, you know, when the spine is straight, you walk upright.
Mm.
But if there's a disruption, a discord in the spinal cord, something goes wrong.
Mm.
You can't stand like you should. Mm. And then even your sensories, the sensories that activate the nerves,
mm.
they're in disruption. So you're out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
But having that sense of knowing of God's presence, and that's Him, whatever circumstances that we're in, if we would just trust Him and be faithful to Him as He is to us, we'd be able to stand.
Yep.
And stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so, as we come to a close, my challenge that I have for us to ask ourselves is, where in your life are you holding tightly to control? And how can you practice surrendering it to God today? And I think if everyone just keeps that in mind, you're going to find so much peace from letting it go. And with that, it's just more and more that you're going to strengthen your faith in Him, because you see that He is faithful. He has no reason to prove Himself to us, because He just is. He is the truth and will exist. It's us learning to trust and have faith in that. That's where the practice needs to be had. And so that's what I pray that we do. And speaking of praying, I'll go ahead and pray us out here.
Okay.
Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for another opportunity for Miss Cricket and I to get to speak on something that I know I've struggled with and had to deal with. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come around to just fully trusting in you and having faith in you, Lord. And just experiencing the beautiful peace that comes from that, Lord, that you allow us when we submit to you and are in accordance to your will, Lord. I'm so thankful for that. And for us to have this discussion here, and for the wisdom that you can pour out through us, Lord, and through your word that we're being able to be receptive of, Lord. And I pray that anyone that's listening who may struggle with anxiety does practice this, Lord, of giving it up to you, and we get to share that peace that is a result of that. And I thank you for the words that we get to read and speak of here. And we know that the word does not return void, Lord. So I pray that everyone that listens truly listens with an open heart and mind, and puts these things into play when living the life that we live here on earth. And I just pray that us, as well as everyone else who's listening to this, just continues to strive to be more and more like you, Lord. And all these things I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Miss Cricket.